was going on. And but what it was it was the testing for the lasers. Okay? They had them mounted on backpacks, they had them mounted on helicopters, they had them mounted on jeeps, they had them mounted on trucks, whatever it was. And they weren't going to run out there and kill 10,000 people, so they just did it with the animals.
And we're in the 60s still, right?
Okay, that was in the 60s.
Early 60s,
yeah,
still?
Early 60s.
Kennedy era?
Just after? I think it was a little after that. But the thing that you're looking at is that this was all part of the exchange of the technology.
Right, right.
Now, this was where Bell Lab came in, because Bell Lab had the UFO that was found at Roswell. And Bell Lab had
The original.
The original, okay. And then they were saying as far as, well, we need to get that crap back. And they were suing Bell Lab, okay. The U.S. government was suing Bell Lab and General Electric and one other, I don't know whether it was AT&T or whoever it was, but this was all technology that was gained from the ETs, the Graylings, and the reverse engineering that came off of that craft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for instance, like they went from in the radio communications, and they were able to go to, and I don't know the technology and everything, but anyway, the upgraded technology came from that. Laser came from that. All this other stuff. The electromagnetic propulsion system came from this craft and everything, because that's how they moved, was through the electromagnetic field. And Gordon Cooper, I asked him, because we were near dear friends, and I did a personal interview on him and everything, and I asked him, I says, well, have you ever flown a UFO? And he says, yep. I said, whoa. Well, what'd you think about it? He says, well, it was great. It was stopping the thing. He said, how do you stop it? And everything. So it was all, what was interesting.
Did he feel the G-forces or not?
No. He said there was no G-force. The other thing that was unique about it was, when we did the interview at the Allisall Ranch, and I can't remember the colonel's name, but he was an Army Lieutenant Colonel in the National Guard that lived on the ranch, and his father was the one who went out and picked up the parts and actually ended up putting them in the Cadillac convertible, bringing them back to the farm. They buried it and did all that stuff with it. Well, at this conference, they brought some of the stuff from that crash that they had been keeping all this time. And one of it was a little aluminum I-beam about so long, and about so wide and about so long. And on it, it had these hieroglyphics on it. And I said, wait a minute, I've seen this. This is like the Arabic Sanskrit that went with the Phoenicians. And somebody pulled it up, and all of a sudden they started matching up some of the symbols
with the Arabic and the Phoenician.
Right. It was on there. So that was real interesting. And then then we had a Russian astronaut there. We had two KGB members there. And the security and everything that went on in this thing. I'd have sworn that the president was going to walk in on this. We had two of our astronauts there. We had a couple of generals. We had it was neat.
Well, you think this was contact? You would know. I don't say it. Is contact stemming from the 40s and the 50s to bring it to the point where they were interacting this way, or was this recent interaction from that period in the 60s?
I think what happened and why we had this interview, that was in 1995. Okay, when this took place.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what's interesting about this? Was all the people that were at this conference, it was a fact gathering, and it was a basis of everyone getting together to be able to understand how big this was.
Right.
Okay? Because everybody basically, it was pockets of it, pockets of information that was basically coming out. What's Brown's...
Bob Brown.
Bob Brown.
Okay. First time I met Bob Brown, 1996, when I gave that first... 1995, when I gave the first talk right here in Las Vegas. No, it was in Mesquite at the conference there. And that was phenomenal. Okay, to stand up in front of 1,500 people and tell your story.
Sure.
It was... It was phenomenal. And...
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, like, from the, just as, you know, to put some input with you on this, like, for myself, it started in mid-1988 and not wanting anything to do with it. And it was directly, you know, right from my home. And it was ambiguous. There was no frame of reference. The MO, so to speak, was isolation, fear, confusion, and... That led into a 6-year period that almost was made no sense, and then it went on from there, from like year 7 to years 13, where I saw an agenda, and then from years 13 to the present, where it has evolved without going into a lot of detail. But so whatever campaign that they were on for myself, it started in 88. So I was just a little bit curious that. You had these interactions when you said almost, you know, to the shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Or that close.
Yeah.
That was in the early 60s. And so what I'm curious about is what led to that sort of interaction even then. Was that stemming from the 40s and 50s where there was actually contact in that respect? Because you've got so many different scenarios, as you well know.
You better believe it.
Of course, we're not interacting with them from they don't exist to we're not, you know, official, to we're not interacting with them to all these different, you know, stories, you know, ranging from...
Right. There's been a lot of military interaction, a lot of Air Force, a lot of Navy, huge Navy.
Friendly, so we're talking friendly.
Friendly. It's interaction from a development exchange and everything else that's going on. And from developmental, all this time through the 60s, I saw it was developmental, okay, and then when I started doing research as far as into the tunnels, Area 51, talking to an engineer that was talking about that there was a tunnel from TA-39 out at Edwards all the way to Area 51, which is over 150 miles, and they're able to travel this thing like in 35, 37 minutes, okay, and...
Within the tunnels?
In the tunnel.
When you say they were talking about the non-human intelligence.
Yeah, right. The engineers we're talking about has said that as far as that technology and exchange and everything took place. And it was like the development in talking to the engineer who was actually one of the patent holders that developed the nuclear boring machine, that kind of thing. But with the experiences that you're talking about, was very much like now the personal one that I had. I was stationed down in Florida in Cocoa Beach.
I was going to say what part.
Yeah, okay, Cocoa Beach. And this is in late summer.
I used to surf there in my early 20s.
Late summer. So I'm down there fishing right there on the river. And I had just put my poles out and everything, and I just cast out. And I leaned back against the tree and everything. And the next thing I know, I wake up. I'm here. I haven't pulled lines in. I haven't fished or anything. I have been abducted. Okay, and that's where I'm lying on a pedestal table. And
so here you are at point A fishing near Cocoa Beach. And then you black out, so to speak.
I'm
and
gone.
Then now you're at point B.
I'm on the craft.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm in this domed craft. No light, visible lighting fixtures you can see.
Right.
But it's, you have an iridescent light in there.
What year is we talking then?
This is in 70,
son of a bitch.
70, 71 or 72.
So they tagged your butt back from the 60s.
Oh yeah.
And they pulled you in the 70s, at least the conscious aspect of it. Right?
Okay. Now, here's what's funny. I've got one tall and two short ETs on my left-hand side. I'm looking up, and there's no other thing in this, as far as in this domed room, but one seal that's up on the ceiling, okay? And it's three gold stars on a brilliant blue background, okay? When I came back, I contacted my commander. He says, "You be in my office, 0700. So I went in the next morning, and I get interviewed and everything like this, and I tell him all about what happened. And when it was after a couple hours of interviews and everything, this individual said, "I know you're curious and everything as to whether you were the only one. Let me tell you this. Men, women, military and civilian that had been abducted. And they said the one commonality that was between all of you, every one of them described that seal. Every one of us saw that same seal. And it was from one ET to nine ETs that had been in the room and everything. But every one of them said about being on a pedestal and from that."
I see it.
Feel that right there.
I see it.
It's been there ever since.
And see, you're like myself, perfectly content with
the same way I am.
My body.
And they asked me, as a number of people have asked me, says, "What do you feel about it and everything? How do you, what do you feel about the whole thing?" And I says, "Beat me up, Scotty."
Yeah, right.
I'm gone.
Exactly.
And it has been such a phenomenal experience because I saw these lights as a child back in the 50s. And out on the farm, and then I had my encounter as far as in 62. I had the second sighting, and then I went on the three missions that were actual Air Force military missions, and saw the craft, saw the ETs. So there was no question in my mind. I knew it was real.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What was the gist of the, as you may think it would be, back in the 70s with the 17 people being abducted, what was related to you at that point?
Nothing else was said. It was all classified.
See,
and because I was told not to discuss this with anybody, not to reveal it to anybody, and basically not knowing anything at that time, technically. Oh, God, I wish I knew then what I know now, as far as I'd have taken notes. I'd
yeah, right,
done
right,
all
right,
kinds
right,
of
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
And then I turned around and I've told friends and everything and others that have been abducted or are going through experiences or researchers, all of this. That in fact, on all three of the missions, I had to sign a 20-year non-disclosure agreement under penalty of, you know, full prosecution and everything. And I said, and I didn't. I didn't say anything about it.
So, and of course, you honored it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But after that, 95, I've been...
Spilled the beans.
I've been... it's the title of my speech and everything is Let the Truth Be Known. Because all this other BS, it's... I went in 96 when I did my speaking tour. When I went to Philadelphia, when I went to New York, when I went to Washington and everything, and I interviewed 100 people from age 18... into the 80s, and I said, all I want to do is ask you one question, and I want a yes or a no. Do you believe in UFO and ET phenomena? Now, this is 1996. Tell me what the percentage you think were yes at that time.
Say the years again.
96.
At that time, I would say... off the top of my head, 40 to 60%?
It was over 90%,
wow.
Believe it.
Wow.
And I, wow. It's amazing because I would say the population believes it. They absolutely believe in that there's UFOs and ETs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of one day soon, we're going to really know about it, and then... What is going to be our involvement? How are we? What's going
to
happen?
So how do we integrate with what it's all about?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess what came to mind was again back to the fishing expedition in Cocoa Beach. I sort of got a sense from what you were talking about, just a sense that that may have been the early stages of the human abduction scenario. Without an agenda or without much of an agenda, were you aware of much of an agenda at that time when it came to the masses or people on the globe in general?
No, let me kind of put it this way. Under separate occasions, I've been given a message, and I was given the message to tell this. Tell them to stop destroying Mother Earth.
God damn.
Okay. Second message. Tell them to learn to love one another. Thirdly, increase your mental and heart to a higher level. We only use 3-5% of our brain. And they're telling us, use it. Learn how to use the powers that you have within yourself.
Yeah. Well, I like that.
That was amazing.
It is amazing. The strongest, the emphasis, and you mentioned three things, and it's almost similar, which is the first emphasis for myself and others is the environment, and like you said, the planet, our planet, to clean up our own backyard before we can even consider joining the galactic neighborhood.
Exactly.
Also, this issue with evolving, with as far as the human species concerned, I don't claim to embrace alien culture, and I'm suspicious. I have a healthy suspicion of what is advised at all times, and I let these things play themselves out before I'm comfortable with, well, I believe now that this is what it is. But the part about the environment is extremely important, and according or advised by them that this isn't the first time that human beings have been where we're at today on this planet, being population, being with technology, being with its resources, and have gotten to this point, it's like I'm striking a chord with you, where we could either self-destruct or evolve.
Yep.
So unfortunately, we've in the past, again, advised through them or by them that we've taken the course of self-destruction, where a handful of us survive. And then it may take a few hundred thousand years, in some cases several million years, to bring us where we are today. And the same scenario has played itself out. Did you want to comment on that? Because I see it.
Oh, I do. Because everybody tells us that as far as that we've only been here for X, okay? The Bible, okay, and we as a spirited civilization, okay, humanity, okay, as far as with the spirit, okay? That's only been for a period of, we as Christians know it as 6,000 years, okay? The Greeks say it's been 7,000 years. Now, I was in Peru, and I was on part of a team that filmed the Nazca Plains after the astronauts saw the signs, okay, on the Nazca Plane.
Right.
And then I was physically on the Nazca Plane, stood inside the, you know, as far as the whatever the sign is, okay. And then I was inside the caves at Lake Titicaca, and I saw the drawings on the walls of helmeted beings, craft, all of this. I was in a building inside Lima. It was about 7,500 square feet that had documented, there were skeletons, there were documented collections and everything that had been dated and everything that were 60,000 years old.
Beautiful.
80,000 years old. Okay, so all of a sudden, wait a minute, what happened to the Bible in 6,000, 7,000 years of this humanity and everything? Well, to me, a friend of mine told me what the word Bible means. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It was given to us as a way of a lifestyle that is loving one another. That's what it's all about.
Right.
If we go through it and we look at the history, the fighting, the devastation, the destruction, God the Supreme Being. Okay, now I was asked my closing statements, okay, at the conference in 1995, in August of 95, at Bob Brown's convention. I was asked, do you believe in God? I said, let me answer this. As a young man, grandson of a Methodist preacher mm-hmm. in South Georgia, and my growing up in the Methodist Church, I said, one, for me to believe that we are the only intelligent beings in all of God's creations, no. I can't believe that.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, that I believe in a supreme being that is the creator of all animate and inanimate beings, objects, and life that I choose to call God.
Right.
And that's why I closed.
That was very good. Very good.
And God, I get so emotional. The
you're doing wonderful. Enjoying this so thoroughly.
This, for me to have experienced all of this in my lifetime,
right,
from a child on a farm in Georgia, and seeing the lights and asking, "What is that?" Because it was a triangle light and it moved all different ways.
What part of Georgia?
Make it Forsyth, Georgia, at that time. But from there to the experiences in 63, to the 62, 63, the meeting with President Kennedy and showing him the picture of those three UFOs in Germany that were filmed the day before, and the number of UFOs that had been seen and everything. And for him to ask me, what did I think about it? And then I turned to him and I says, well, what do you think, sir? And that beautiful smile of his, he looked at me and he just says, I asked you first. And then...
very wise
him,
man.
Then I gave him basically that answer. But I wish, like I said so many times, I wish I knew then what I know
sure,
now.
Sure, sure.
Just to be able to ask the right questions and see where we're going. But I've asked, did I fear them? At no time have I ever feared any of the encounters. I've looked forward to it. It was like me being a pioneer and or Indiana Jones and everything, and going out there and seeing and discovering and everything. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it immensely. And would I, just like I said so many times, beam me up, Scotty.
Sure.
I'd go at heartbeat.
You know, well, I, like you, when I'm ever asked, you know, what the issue with God or the Creator when it comes to this, my response is always the same, which is, it's humankind, mankind, who puts a cap or a limit on what God has created, which is the mysteries beyond what we understand. What I'm finding fascinating here is that my initiation into this, and particularly the 6 years, as I mentioned earlier, has been that of no frame of reference, ambiguous, without being able to really get a feel as to why, what, where, when, or what it's about. In a sense, you and I see something similar here. Although you operated on an official capacity and within the means of your rank and what you were doing, but you were only privy, in a sense, it was compartmentalized, so you were only privy to so much information,
right?
And it's what you pulled together in that period. And it's what I pulled together in that period. What I find fascinating here is, in essence, we're dealing with non-human intelligent beings. We're dealing with beings who have evolved well beyond where we're at now, which I think you would and I would like to see the same thing happen.
Yeah.
But going back to that, one of the first outstanding statements that you made, which is that the path that you were on from the past and the path from the past to the present, and the past path from my past to the present, although they had different beginnings, it's still leading to the same message from what I'm pulling together
exactly.
at this point. And so now we're dealing with non-human intelligent beings that we are commonly referring to as grays, interacting on an official capacity, a military capacity, a government capacity, and then in your respect, and then in my respect, it's a purely a civilian capacity, although I love my country, it's number one, it's first and foremost, there's nothing else, but yeah, as you understand, but nonetheless, on a civilian capacity, this is the same sort of interaction, and I think it's fascinating how it, and this is, we're just first meeting here, so how it comes together like that at this point.
I so agree with that, because right now I'm a developer. I'm trying to put some resorts together and everything, and everything that I'm putting into these is state-of-the-art green technology, desalinization plants, waste remediation, power, 100% electric power and everything, and then actually where I'm trying to go with it is I want to take it to electromagnetic, okay, where it's controllable electromagnetic in a special field, and that's something I'm working on right now.
You're extremely, I take it you're extremely you're extremely environmentally sensitive.
I wasn't.
To that respect. You were until afterwards?
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that I was raised as a farm boy down in South Georgia.
I love the aspect that you're from that part of the country, because originally raised in South Florida, in Florida, and so I'm familiar with the South. I grew up in the South. Also, I did business in the South, as I mentioned to you earlier, that my business was in North Carolina.
Right.
I also worked in Georgia quite a bit. I was in every small town.
I was born in South Carolina.
Were you? I was born, I worked in every small town and in every city that there is in the entire southeastern United States for like a 3.5-4 year period.
Wow.
And I can relate to your background.
Right.
Which is...
Can I interrupt here, because, this is great. We don't have to put this on the net or anything.
It doesn't matter.
Turned on the cameras, because
right.
it's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But what about 2012? Because I think you've been told some information about that. Sounds like you haven't. And
no, I brought that up. In fact, in the interview, we talked about that. Was 2012 is a very important date.
I stay away from that. I stay away from publicly commenting on that.
Okay.
Not that I'm hiding anything, and I didn't mean to go ahead and finish.
But if we turn off the cameras, we can do that.
It doesn't matter to me if they're on or they're off in this issue.
Uh huh.
You know, when you have a calling, so to speak, mine is in an area regarding the environment. As you're familiar with my work, putting together the Your Earth Foundation,
mm-hmm.
to buy up rainforest land, all of it, and so the human species can evolve, an amnesty bill. One of, by the way, the issue with disclosure versus amnesty, I don't want to say versus because they work hand in hand, but what we're about here with the Your Earth Foundation is to put together an amnesty bill that creates an avenue where black ops, sanctioned and unsanctioned agencies, either singularly or group-wise, can come forward voluntarily with what they want to expose without recourse versus disclosure, which you're forcing it in their face, and which I think they...
So you have information in that regard, at least that you feel you've been told.
Well, you know, I think 2012 would only be important, and me staying away from that area with a change. I don't see it as a destructive thing. I don't see it as a cataclysmic change. I see it as an era of positive change.
But that's for the totally globe valid. General. I mean, we're not here to say, you know, to look for negative information. We're here to get just whatever
sure.
input you have gotten. And I just remember from our last discussion that you had some information given to you or shown to you, I don't know, you know, on a television screen or whatever you...
Oh, in the years earlier, I think what you're referring to, and I could be corrected, was back. This was very common during the abduction scenarios, particularly from the late '80s through the '90s, which almost every abduction either included scenes out of order of the future, scenes. Almost in holographic form, out of order from the past, scenes from the present, So one couldn't get a frame of reference as to be able to pin it down exactly when things would happen. Even in the abduction scenario in general, what I find is the physical memory, even if it's a positive experience, is taken away. Because the if you were enhanced with some knowledge, the physical memory gets in the way, or the experience can get in the way of the positive things you can do from the interaction. But when it comes to these scenes, I've just seen many, many different scenes, and I couldn't specifically put them in order, and I may have been referring to that at the time that you asked me, or it could have been another area. What I find interesting is over time, which these things started almost 20 years ago, is from time to time I see these things come about, but I never know when it's going to do it. So I can't say, hey, okay, so what I saw here or what I saw there, gee, it's 2012. I just can't say
that. Okay, but to get back, you had a reaction to the amnesty, the idea of amnesty for Black Ops.
I wrote a letter to the president in 1996 requesting that specifically.
Cool.
1996.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
So you have a lot of parallels.
We do. And you and I have got to sit down.
Yeah.
We got to meet again.
And you just happen to live in Vegas as I do.
Oh, this is great. Right. We got to. Because I have another meeting I have to go to be at 6. But this is great. Thank you all so much for arranging this and bringing this together. And
It seemed like a natural synchronicity.
Yeah. And you know what I've kept strong about, before you take off on this, but... And it's been very difficult and almost sacrificial in a sense. Since 88 up to this point, I've stayed away from all the movies. And I, as I mentioned to you, Bill and Carrie, and I've also mentioned to you that I stay away from reading in any depth or any detail other people's work, movies on the subject, and I shy away from it as much as possible throughout these last 20 years, so not to cloud my interactions with others, because they're so close, I don't want to cloud it together. So I've kept myself as best as I could separate from that. And in a lot of cases, it is a sacrifice. I haven't even seen Independence Day. So when was that? 10 years ago? And not to mention a lot of things that have come up. And what I find is when opportunities like this come about, to see how things parallel,
right.
And not, interweaving my experiences with others.
I just loved your reaction to some of the things that I said. You said, oh, my, I'll be darned. to come right off that, when you don't know each other, and then you basically see how parallel these situations are and the knowledge that we've gained from our own personal experiences. Now, I'm the opposite of that, in other words.
That's your calling. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening.
I want to go find out everything I can about it from others as to what their experiences are. And then 2012 has some unique features about it as far as the importance about it. One is the end of the Aztec calendar. Okay, as is stated. In certain things that I've done from the military side and being inside the presidential arm and everything, hearing conversations that 2012 has been brought up a number of times.
So even from the earlier periods in
from
your
the
experience?
From earlier periods, okay? And in the conversation in 95 at the conference. Now, that was put on, by the way, by the Rockefellers. By the Rockefeller Foundation. That whole thing was paid for.
Okay. So we're talking 17 years from earlier.
Exactly.
Right.
That's... Exactly. And so this is why I say when we start putting things together, when we start adding things up, and the times that we're going through, and the when we look back where we started in the early 60s, and watching my experiences, watching what had happened, and look at how we have evolved in the scientific and technological advances that have occurred in less than 50 years.
Right, right.
Has been monumental, okay? But we go back to the period of the Phoenicians, umpteen thousand years ago. Surgical tools and instruments that they had, some are still being utilized today.
Fascinating.
In heart and yeah. brain surgery.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, along with that, in the same page is in a little bit more detail in one respect, which is, again, I was advised, and I don't claim to embrace, but then a healthy suspicion, but until it plays itself out, that when you're talking 60,000 or 70,000 years ago, and these guys, as in Gray's, talk millions and millions.
Exactly.
And something we've done. But the difference today is where we have an edge, I believe, Bill, and also advised as having an edge,
right.
and it goes back to this amnesty thing, and I know you need to go, so I've
right.
got to close it on
Just
this
please,
with you,
yeah.
Is the fact that there's more technical knowledge that can change the face of the earth as we know it in human hands today than there ever has been in the past.
Absolutely.
We could never really rely on the ETs, so to speak, because if we could have, the track record shows it didn't happen. We haven't evolved. And in this case, we have a big edge because it is in human hands. And it's more or less up to us to get our act together, look inward, see us what we really are, and we have a good chance at evolving this time versus self-destructing. And that avenue of amnesty, where they can volunteer what they want.
Right.
And not to go too far, but to briefly say, the issue or the problem is you've got a growing majority in those areas that want to see this out, but unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, in their case, unfortunately, which makes sense, is a lot of it is tied in with not just national security, but global security.
Exactly.
And they do not want to be forced to bring out the whole enchilada because they're not going to do it. But if they can come out in a clemency sort of way with just what's important that can change things, that would make the whole difference in the world.
I agree. And the other side of it is it was just like in the pre-briefing when Reagan was being briefed by the CIA as to what was going on. In that briefing, he was advised that there were 39 known species of ETs. 39, not just the Grey Lakes.
Right, right.
39
right,
others.
Right.
Okay? And that's where we get into the reptilians, the
right.
Andromedans, you name it.
It's probably as wide a variety
Pleiades.
Of life out there
exactly.
as there is on this planet.
Exactly. So that's why I said, I have so enjoyed this.
So have I.
And I look forward to it. You got my card.
Yeah,
okay.
Count on it.
We'll get together.
Count
I look forward to it again.
There's a wise man once told me, convenience stimulates use. So we happen to live in the same town.
We have to. But y'all, Bill and Carrie, thank you so much. I just so appreciate this. And don't be strangers when you come into town.
No,
call me ahead of time.
Absolutely. Okay, next time we're going to take you up on
Please
that,
do.
All right?
Please do.
We'll get both of you
yep.
back together. Yep. We'll all go out for dinner or something.
This was one right? spontaneous like this in the way it ended up. So yeah, the energy's
yeah.
right. The energy's
Wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's great. You know, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's been great to see you.
No problem. Always great to see y'all.